Welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artist First Radio Network. Many of us believe celestial beings have been influencing the history of this planet since there's been a history of this planet. And in my humble opinion, one person who knows more about that than just about any of us is Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hi there, G-Man.
So we had no visions this week. Do you feel deprived?
Well, yesterday wasn't a vision. It was something I did, which is I kind of probed into the future a little bit and see what's ahead. And it's sort of scary.
Well, you know, I was being somewhat humorous, but my question was kind of serious. Is, hey, you receive so much information. At times, are you glad when you get a break?
Well, sometimes it's because there's something like yesterday I was just kind of needling them and probing into the future, so maybe they didn't feel that I needed to know anymore because this is something that I extended myself into, you know, and that's the direction. It's not really from them. It's sort of like how I extend the sensory feel forward in time and try to look and peek into what's forward. And I've done that before, and sometimes, a lot of times, I don't understand what I see. And then when I intercept those things and I see them happen, then I go, ah, now understand, you know. But a lot of times it's in my travels, you know, like what I'm going to see in the future travels. And then I know I'm going toward a new place I've never been in before, and I just kind of, you know, like I'm going to China. I wonder what to see in China. And let's see if I see it. And I practice this type of forward look. And I pick up stuff. And there's a lot of stuff I just throw away, which is like, you know, stuff like famous areas and things, and just for something that's unique, and then they come true, and then I say, oh, well, you don't always get something, you know, significant, but you do intercept the future in an area, which is pretty good. This is a targeted, you know, particular trip, and see if I could see something unique besides just some tourist areas or something like that. And in this case, it's a little bit foreboding because I looked for a significant event or event that may or will happen, something that has something to do with, you know, 2012, the year 2012. And that was a little bit unnerving because I didn't understand it at first. I still really don't, just looking at it.
But you get the idea that even though you don't understand the specifics, you still get the idea and the timeline that it's this year.
Because I asked about it in terms of looking for this year. And you want to know what I saw? It's not a vision, you know. It's sort of like it's different.
Please.
Some people call it remote viewing or something like that. I don't know if that's would be what I'm doing, but sort of like that, peeking into the future. Well, in a sense, what I did was just to look, see if anything's moving in that area that's significant. And all I began to see was this cylindrical-looking dark object that was under roof, inside, indoors. And kind of dark color, dark, maybe black. And then it reminded me of a bow of a nuclear submarine. And I said, oh, well, that would really be a huge area to house a nuclear submarine. So I kept looking at it and moved over to the side, and I realized, oh, all this thing really is a train, you know, a tanker car on a train, you know, a train tanker car, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they look cylindrical, and they have rounded ends on them, and many of them are black in color. So I said, okay, well, it's indoors, okay, it's inside. What's the significance of it? So moved off, back, and then saw something that looked perhaps like a big explosion. I said, oh, don't tell me this is a nuclear bomb or something, you know, and I kept looking at it, and it says, where's the mushroom cloud? No mushroom cloud. Okay, so it's not that big, and let's see, look at what's, you know, being thrown up in the air. Oh, dirt. Lots and lots of dirt. Lots and lots and lots of dirt is being exploded. Okay, is this supposed to happen? Well, this is something that is being in actually probably a working plan, because then I asked, who are those, who is responsible for this, you know? So I began to look and look, and all I got was people with masks on them. And essentially, couldn't tell who they were because they had different kinds of, like, Halloween masks, right? You know, just masks on, that covered their face. Essentially, they are covered up, covert, you know? So, I don't know. It could be some kind of maybe a false flag attack, or some actual by the who is responsible, and they're being covered up like that, and their face is covered with masks, suggests to me that it is, you know, covert. It's hidden, you know. These, and it's an action. Individuals who are thinking about this may not do it, but they sure have the plans and already something in place, you know, that could do this kind of, you know, deed, which could maybe necessary for some kind of a, you know, scaring the public into moving one way in their thinking or another. But anyway, that's not something from the celestial. It's something I peeked into. I don't know, you know, if it's gonna, what it's gonna be, or coming accumulation of both things, like a purposeful event. But it was located in what appeared to be a city, but not the major part of a city. And could be a train yard or something like that, but I'm not sure. And no snow around, so time of the year, you know, definitely not any cold period, but can't really tell exact timing in terms of what this is.
Some listeners may not know the term false flag. That term means when a government will stage an attack so they can talk you into going into war. And are you insinuating that that could happen to Americans, that we could be lied to into a war and we would buy it and we'd actually go fight a war because they lied about it?
Yeah, they're kind of like lots of nuclear bombs in Iraq or something, right?
There's some great footage of a propane tanker car, a train that crashed somewhere in the middle of the United States, and lots of footage. And they basically step back and let it burn out. And when you see a train car, one of those tanker cars, full of propane explode, oh my, it is massive. And of course, if you combine, or whatever, you know, C4 or dynamite for that matter, when, what if the dirt was contaminated? What if the dirt that it was blowing out was all low radioactive dirt and dust? You know, if you use a bomb of that size, you could spread a dirty bomb over a couple square miles, probably, make it uninhabitable.
Yeah.
Downtown Chicago is, until further notice, uninhabitable.
Yeah, that could be it. I don't know if it would be, but it's sure to scare the pants out of everybody.
I mean, it's stuff you can fix up in your kitchen, folks. It's not. It doesn't need to be nuclear at all.
Yeah.
Except for the dirty.
I guess that's what
the
dirt. The lots of dirt flying up in here may be a symbolic thing.
Or it's full of smallpox or some other crazy disease. Some nutbag decided to mass produce and stick in the anthrax. Whatever. These threats have been there the whole time. You know, we only inspect, 2% of the containers that come into this country? So you could stick a huge nuclear bomb into a shipping container and don't set it off till they're right before they scan it. You know, and you'd be right on the dock and you could take out pretty much everything for 20 miles.
So, I think that particular thing is ready. You know, it's just sitting there and it could be used.
You know, I wonder when these... Are we underestimating countries like Iran and North Korea? Have they placed those missing Russian suitcase nuclear bombs that they can't find and the thousands of pounds of uranium that the Russians can no longer account for? Are those sitting in shipping containers in storage yards around the United States just in case they need them? What if 6 or 7 or 8 of those went off tomorrow? Let's talk about that for just 1 second, just that hypothetical note. Let's say in 6 major U.S. cities, pick them. You know, let's say the biggest ones like Dallas and Chicago, New York, L.A. What if they just disappeared tomorrow? Now, all at the same time. And we don't really know what was going on. No aircraft flew in. Nobody, you know, nobody. We wouldn't know who hit us. Who do we retaliate against?
Yeah, exactly.
Aw, dang. Wait a minute. And listeners, got any choices? Who do you go shoot? How do you know who did that? Do you go kill 100 million people and then find out they weren't the ones that did it? Oh, this is not good, is it?
Yeah. Anyway, that's something that is outside of being sent a vision. That was something I kind of extended my... Just curious, I just did that. So, you know, sometimes...
Just know, so we'd all sleep better tonight.
Yeah, you know... I don't know what else to say. That's pretty much what I got. But that's something that I feel strongly, though, that the actual device is already there. It's, you know, whether it's used or not, it's still covered up.
And, you know, anybody that lives near railroads, box cars, tanker cars, flat cars, they can sit on sidings for years, years unmoved. There are sidings in our county where these tankers have been sitting there for 5, 10 years. So you could have easily, I'm not saying that there's been a bomb in one of them for that long, but, you know, cars, it's not unusual for tank cars to sit in places for long periods of time. So you could easily, in fact, it'd be one of the easier ways to stage it, wouldn't you? Picking something, a delivery device, such as a rail car, that isn't, you know, all that unusual that it sat there for a year.
Yeah. I was listening to Coast the other day, and somebody called in and said they had a dream that bothered them, and all they had was a number there, the scroll, and unearthed this number. I think it was 1107 or something like that. And I was thinking, after peeking through this thing, and I said, wait a minute, are they numbered? I don't know. Yeah, well, anyway, that's kind of getting way out there.
Are you saying is the tanker car numbered? Of course it would be. As those big barcodes, anybody that's ever sat in a train crossing.
Well, everything is controlled, right? All numbered and everything.
Yep. They would know where they are, wouldn't they? You're right. Somebody knows where, or supposed to know where every car is.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole bunch of Americans that believe that our government was involved with 9/11, or at least we let it happen. Dick Cheney never had to come to an account when was testified in Congress when the plane was flying towards the White House and Cheney was in the bunker underneath the White House, and Cheney would not make the decision to shoot it down because Cheney knew it wasn't coming there. He never had to explain that. Anyway, okay, we could get off into conspiracy
yeah.
theory for on and on, but it's happened in our lifetime. Some folks think the Gulf of Tonkin incident that started the Vietnam War was planned. And what was the one in 1812? Oh, no, who was the, remember the ship that blew up in the, was it in the Cuban Harbor? Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done this before, a couple times at least, that we know of, so.
Oh, yes, false flag, yes.
False flags where our government wanted to get into a war, so they staged something that we would go all follow them in, like right over the cliff with Bush. Come on, everybody, and then we go right... over the cliff.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, we have a lot of emails that have come in. Some are quite extensive. Give me a second here to refresh my email booth. And folks, if you guys would like to send us a question or comment, you can hit us up at dj@artistfirst.com, and we'll read yours. Okay. Jim B. has sent us a bunch of questions. This one's not that long. Let's start with this one, if you don't mind. Are you ready to field a few questions?
Sure.
from Jim. It says, "Dear Michael, I'm still a bit confused about the differing explanations regarding Riley's and your version of the rejuvenation chamber. Riley says that it uses nanotechnology to change the cells in the body over the course of around 8 hours so that the subject becomes younger. The age will be reverted to about 32 years old. You say that the chamber uses some sort of cosmic rays to transform the body in just a few moments into something that's all or part Morancha. Are you both talking about the same device? Maybe a different mode of the same device, two things, or are these two things entirely different?"
No, they're the same place. What Riley is talking about in terms of reversion is the physical body that is and does become Morancha, is reverted to Morancha, which is and will stay at pretty much the mature physical age, right around 30. And I remember when I reached 30, at the time of my encounter with him, I was 19. I did sit on a thing and I had something, well, a lot of different things done, but one major thing done is, and at age 30, the sutures of the bone in your skull, the plates of your skull sutures, diffuse, and then essentially you have become mature. At that point in my life, about age 30, something fell out of my head and onto the plate at dinner time, and it looked like a little piece of metal. But anyway, I threw it away. I didn't know what it was. But anyway, at 30 is a significant number. But progressing beyond that to those who already went through a change, and my guide said he'd been through that many times. Although he looked 10 years old, I kept saying, his face looked like he was 10 years old. So I said, "You're like 10 years old." He said, "Oh my goodness, I'm much older than that." But anyway, their level of maturity would be, for the human, would be right around what Riley does say, about 30, and it will remain there for a while. And eventually the physical body with Morancha properties will need to be replaced. And at that point, you will be transitioned into another body itself. For those who are dead and physically already lost their mortal body, that is a new body that they will inherit. They essentially will have another body to incarnate into, or to just, you know, their soul implant, and then they have a new body. So this is one of the interesting things about their attitude towards bodies. It's like how we, you know, we get rid of an old car, we never worry about it too much, but because you got a new car. But in the other point about what Riley was talking about was that you'd get younger. Younger would be, in truth, the reversion back to that point. As the Morancha energy changes the mortal physicality, that will revert toward what looks like that age, 30. Now, I often wondered, if I didn't like the way I looked at 30, would I be made more perfect? And actually, that's true. You would be made more perfect, because some of the problems that we have physically here on Earth, having to do with lifestyle, perhaps, diet, things like that. You know, some people, they're like overly, you know,
fat.
They don't fat or skinny or something. They just don't feel like they're right on perfect. Well, this right on perfect line is where the Morancha transition moves you toward. And and later, as you exchange bodies, your body will tend to illuminate, or the inner self would become more visible. So your inner being would be reflected more and more from your physical self. On Earth can have a very different inner self toward what we look like on the outside, and especially put on makeup. They put on all kinds of makeup, they look different. But that's not the case with the transformation. Your inner self comes out. But that is over a period, multiple periods of moving through those chambers.
This email.
Hope that cleared it up.
Not. Send us a follow-up question. We'll read it. This is from Pakal, and Pakal writes, Z-Man, thanks for offering to bring back Riley and Eron to do a weekly program with Michael. Now, I didn't really offer that. I sort of read your email from last week. Oh, by the way, I talked to Paul Rozek today, and I think he might join us next week. He didn't commit completely, but he says he's going to call me, and there's a good chance. Paul will be joining us next week. Anyway, back to Pakal's question. He says, Dear Michael, please talk about the alien race called the Archons. That would be A-R-C-H-O-N-S, if I'm saying that right. And what do the Celestials say about them?
The race called the Archons. I'm trying to pick up what he means by the Archons, or who they are. I don't know every race by name, exactly.
I don't know. That's all it says is, please talk about the alien race called the Archons. Hey, Pakal, send us a follow-up question. Any more information about where that came from? And we'll maybe do a follow-up question down the road a moment. Okay, let's go to another question for you. Dear Michael, you say that the Morangial shift will not happen for everyone, that one must have the correct polarity. Can we tell who has the right polarity? Can we say that, because we listen to you on Artists First, that that's a good sign we have the correct polarity? How about if we have a symbol from Riley?
Interestingly enough, those things are signs of moving into the correct polarity. One of the things about a Morantia shift is the idea of a shift. Let me explain to you something about the initial move of Morantia, where it's temporary. It's only temporary. And that was the explanation of how I moved through, let's say, the roof of my home into, going into the ship, and how that was explained to me. And I'm going to explain this now in terms of, ancient Egyptian or Greek temple with columns. And let's say you look at the floor plan of this temple, and you see that the columns are all equal distance apart in nice, even rows and columns. And you have a grid pattern. Now, from that footprint, you got the idea that it's one of those kinds of temples with columns inside. Now, if you were to take an angle up to a little bit off from perfectly aligned, perpendicular, let's say off at 45 degrees, and you look in toward the temple. Now, the columns all interfere with each other. It doesn't look like there's any way in. Well, that particular perspective is a perspective of where we sit right now in time and space. We're locked in that position. Positionally, we are stuck there. And we have no ability to move there because we don't understand how to do that yet. And I say yet because eventually we will learn how to move right or left. And that's the Morantia shift. Now, if you're able to move right or left, let's say, in that way, then you'll come up to a point of alignment where you can see your way into the temple. Now, there's open space. You can actually go from one end all the way through it and go all the way through to the other side and right on out because the columns don't interfere in a straight line. Now, this is the way it was explained to me in terms of my limited understanding at the time. In them explaining that Morantia shift that allowed me to move through matter. Of course, I was encased or enveloped in this blue-green, blue, purplish-green, whatever light beam that I rode and moved me through, and that allowed for the shift. Now, that's an additive, but it was a temporary additive element that was added into this Maharaja shift. Now, that was done temporarily. In other words, I would return back and lock back into where I was positionally when returned. However, I did bring back with myself a bit of a glow and a smell. I know Riley talked about the smell, you know.
Honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle, yeah. My mother called it perfume. And my dad noticed not only the smell, but a glow about me. And that glow is a byproduct of being in the atmosphere of the Maharaja atmosphere, which is an additive. Now, this blast which happens is like something that allows us to be able to move right or left. But if we don't want to move that right or left, we'll stay locked into the position. Because the guiding factor between right or left requires almost like a psychic alignment between yourself and a guide. So when this happened, there is a psychic connection that needs to happen. If we are unfamiliar with that psychic connection, it's terror. It's frightening. Just name all the people who say they've been abducted, and the first thing they got is terror, frightening. But if you've had that before and have a made an alignment, and this alignment is something that is not terrifying anymore. It is an additive experience that was added into our life and is real and will allow us to transition. But if we're terrified, we'll stay locked into that space and not move. And essentially, when the opportunity arises, be terror. Run, you know. Versus others who will feel that and be locked into the celestial guidance and understand, the famous words, we come in peace, we mean you no harm, kinds of content, that will happen. Or for someone like me, it'll be, long time no see.
We have an emailer that was talking. Earlier you talked about the people surrounding the railroad car wearing masks.
Well, yeah, the one that said, who's the responsible party for this? Yeah.
DB writes in, that was Tan, Nella, and Question the Space Beaver.
Yeah, well, why not?
You never know. More questions? You want to move on?
Okay, yeah.
It's up to you.
That's fine. If anyone there has a question that they need to answer. And question in the Maharaja book is called a Maharaja companion. Maharaja companion. That's the word.
The next email is about the strange trumpet sounds, and it says, this comment is about the strange trumpet sounds that have been heard throughout the world. Nancy Leader says that the Zetas say that this is due to the movement of the Earth due to the proximity of Planet X. And he goes on to talk about a couple snippets from the newsletter that's quite extensive, and that's from JB. What are your thoughts about that? Is the trumpet sound that we're hearing due to the Earth being close to Planet X?
I am not totally familiar on exactly what is the cause of it. I remember one of the things that I was brought to my consciousness, made to remember, so that I would at least recognize it when it happens. Now, at the time of my understanding, I intercepted, again, going back to Velikovsky, Velikovsky Rosen collisions. And the concept of the trumpet sounds and the giving of the law and Moses on the Mount and the trumpet sounds and their occurrence. And if you place them back in time, you're looking at something in terms of you know, like close to maybe possibly the timing of Planet X. I'm not sure. I don't, you know, really plot that. But I'm looking at the fact that the trumpet sounds did precede or were perhaps in between or right at the time of significant events in the uplift of our planet. And the giving of the law was perhaps one. And it wasn't only heard, according to Velikovsky, at the time of the law giving. You know, it was around, there were many occurrences of that time during that period. So it could be because of the aspect of Planet X. It could also be because of some of the very interesting happenings with the sun. The sun is still very quiet, but very active. In the terms of quiet, it has not many sunspots, but in terms of active, it has all kinds of bursts and interesting filaments and tornadoes and spins and energetics that are being propagated from the sun that are interfering with that planet. Now, everyone knows that music, we generate music by vibration and acoustic vibration. We can have various forms of it. We can have a drumming beat type, pressure type on a diaphragm, which pumps air. And we can have one in which strings move, and that caused by some vibrating source or oscillation that can initiate some energy to cause it to vibrate. And of course the wind instruments and the direct wind instruments would be like one which doesn't have a reed, which is like a flute, which uses a resonant chamber or a resonance between one particular length of in which the pressure resonates back and forth. Now, the sound is similar to that of a trumpet many times. I've listened to them, and they sure sound like an old trumpet, maybe not very good ones, but still like a trumpet. And that would occur with a source and a resonant, directed resonant chamber. Now, there is something that we have many times in our atmosphere called inversion layers, and these inversion layers, temperature inversion layers, creates ducted channels that can be used for deflecting light. It can create two different pathways for light to travel, so you get one source, say the sun, and then a ducted path, and you receive another source, a baby sun. That is caused through a ducted path. We have that in radio phenomena, microwave radio phenomena, VHF radio phenomena, and it causes a lot of problems because of this ducted phenomena. A lot of times a ducted phenomena has a lot to do with the sun. Now, if you have a duct, then you have a resonant chamber. Now, if you have a resonant chamber that is struck or blown with energetics, then you have an acoustic resonant chamber or a trumpet. This is one of the things that can happen. Another thing that can happen is pressures that can happen, and you have piezoelectric effects where an induced energy on pressure can create electrical energy, which can be also transduced into an acoustic energy, which can be heard. So there's a lot of different things that can happen. But again, I point back to the sun, gravity waves, and interactions with other celestial bodies like Planet X, like Nirubu, yeah,
something. Nibiru.
Well, anyway, I don't have it right. And if it is external planetary gravity source that is pressuring, it'll have a lot to do with our tectonic forces, you know, the movement of our crust, layer of crust on Earth above the magma layer. That is torquing and twisting and stretching the planet. And that is definitely happening. Torquing, twisting, stretching, sinking, all of those things are happening right now.
I went on to read this, the explanation that came from Jim about the, remember, we started this question with my comments about the strange trumpet sounds you've heard throughout the world. Nancy Leader says that due to the movement of the Earth, due to the proximity of Planet X. And he gives an interesting explanation here. I'd like to read it to you. Evidently, it doesn't say this, but it implies that they are hearing trumpet sounds coming from the dam on the Kiev Reservoir. Where is Kiev? Russia?
Yeah, toward that area, yeah.
Okay, it says, a vibration, and this is according to
By the way, that area is under stretch.
Okay, good. That comes in with this gentleman. And Jim, according to Jim, this is, that this comes from Zeta Talk Explanation 8-2011. So I think this is Nancy's explanation, which reads, a vibration of the dam itself, like the strings of a violin, would resonate in the water, thus not only creating a vibration in the ground, but a vibration in the air. There are musical instruments that we use water-filled containers to increase vibrations, so the vibrations affect the air and send a tone forth. Glasses of water filled to different heights when tapped create a vibration tone due to the water surface affecting the air. The glass alone when tapped is barely audible. When trumpets will be heard worldwide prior to the pole shift, the Kiev trumpets are not due to upper atmosphere clapping caused by lightning. They are caused by the stretch zone above the Black Sea, which will be pulling apart continuously until the hour of the pole shift. Thus, the people of Kiev should become accustomed to the music their dam is producing, as it's likely to be with them for the duration. Your thoughts?
Well, that's probably true. I think that I'm really looking for one in which is everywhere to be heard, not in particular zones, but these are the prelude of the, even more. And, of course, these were recorded by our ancient ancestors in whatever writing was preserved, and some of it, of course, coming from the Bible. So this is also a point of having celestials come in directly and interface with humanity for these events that changed society, changed the way things were operated.
We've received a follow-up, some more information about the Archons from our buddy Pacal, who adds the following information. The Nag Hammadi material contains reports of visionary experiences of the initiates, including firsthand encounters with inorganic beings called Archons. Gnostic teachings explain that these entities arose in the early stage of formation of the solar system before the Earth was formed. Archons inhabit the solar system, the extraterrestrial realm as such, but they can intrude on Earth. I had not heard that.
Yeah, that's where it comes from, the Nag Hammadi. I remember a little bit about that. But as far as meeting any one of those or being introduced to any one of those by the celestials, I haven't. However, when it comes down to these old ones pretty having come into reality through a non-biologic origin, you know, essentially constructed through some other way, there are presently operating a few forms that operate on our planet. Most of them have been classified by people as demons and devils. And some of them have been operating in terms of helping out. They operate in the realm which cannot be seen. And they are indeed quite old. But there are two levels of ones that are distinct in in the beginning of the operation in humanity development. And these are ones at which were called in the Urantia book, midwayers. But there's a primary and secondary. The primary is the old one. And the secondary are a group which are more, most of the secondary, in fact, all the secondary that remain here on the, and they don't leave the planet. They don't leave our solar system either. They just stay with their point of origin. We, however, are true galactic citizens with the entire universe as our future home and domain, although this is our point of origin. Their point of origin remains here, like the is described in the Nag Hammadi, and but they don't have that ability to transcend or move through space and change their location. The primary midwares are not; they don't have a reputation of being nice guys. They have a reputation of being troublemakers and are interfere with. They can interfere and often do interfere with human emotion. They get a kick out of the negative human emotions, and they like to find the switch, the button, push that button, and see the negative emotions erupt, and from there they feel themselves. Get the idea?
See, this is what worries me. We've got so many people, so many, maybe people's the wrong word, so many different entities working against us, and they have all the advantages.
Until
right now, some people had no idea that these beings might be negatively influencing their lives. Another thing to have a good night's sleep on after the we talked about the railroad car exploding. And Michael, this program does so well. We get bajillions of listeners to this broadcast. And, it's the information we give out, at least for the immediate future, isn't all that good. You'd think people would just turn us off because they don't want to hear bad news. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's one of the things is that there is an extremely good news that is ahead. And that's, of course, our next transition point. But it's a matter of perspective. And there will be a whole bunch who will turn themselves off. And, in fact, those who are keyed on the system of this planet and only have the short term in mind and don't care about the future, don't care about the long-term destiny, because we have guardians of destiny and those that I promised to help. That's part of their title. Guardians of destiny, they have the destiny of our planet, destiny of individuals involved. But when it comes down to everything, it's a short term, we only go around in once in life and gonna do it, everything and get it. That has messed up the perspective of so many, and it's caused a lot of problems. Of course, too, we run by deadlines, and we run by our society has, we're running on a projected timeline for a construction project. In order for it to run smooth, you lay out your Gantt chart and hopefully follow it and able to get everything delivered and built at the right time. So, time is an important thing, but there are others who, who refuse to believe that there is any destiny beyond what we have, and that messes up the whole picture.
Well, it, one of the things we talk about on this program over and over, is that the Celestials regard our free will. In fact, the Creator regards our free will as untouchable, that we have to choose to follow the path, and we have the option to choose not to figure it out. And, you know, they use explanations as to why things can and can't be due to free will. This may sound ridiculously oversimplified, but why can't we ask the Celestials, if we're asking them to teach us how to live better, how to have a better society, how to make a utopian existence here, if they're willing to teach us that, then why can't we say it's my free will and my choice to ask you to show me how to, for instance, cure cancer or feed everybody or endless free fuel, things that they know about. But again, what is the, and I'm not trying to be controversial here, but obviously there's something in their doctrine that will not allow that, right?
Well, there is, you know, basically a time for it, you might say, and we are rapidly approaching revelation on much of those problems. It's part of the uplift of our society, but if it went too fast, we would have blown ourselves up, you might say. But it's being fed in at the proper time.
So the answer is, okay, we will show you, but on our schedule, not yours.
Somewhat like that, yeah. And it goes back to, you know, basically some, you know, time for every season, turn, you know. There's a song about that. It comes from the Bible, you know. Time for everything. And that is the center, that centered concept of time, which locks us into this physicality, this reality that we are right now, is set in motion by what the Rancho book calls the Master Chronodex. And they align everything from the most minute to the expansion rate to how gravity, you know, works in terms of an expansionary universe, expansionary thing, how the spin and vibration of reality in terms of nuclear or the physics we understand. Without that element of exactly timed right, things would fall apart. So there is a time, you know, for everything, and some things are locked in time, and we can actually use time to our advantage in terms of how things operate. In fact, in this digital world, time is everything, and transmission of information along different modalities is time is everything. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a understandable decoding or encoding of information.
Well, Michael, we are rapidly approaching the top of the hour. I had one more question about the tank car. We still got about 2.5 minutes here. Let's squeeze this in. Did you feel that that tank car explosion was absolutely in the United States?
No, I didn't ask for the United States in particular. Looking toward what I was looking at, I don't recognize the city as anything special in terms of but there wasn't I didn't see much plant, you know, trees and stuff. It's more like, not. It's a city, but I really can't say. You know, I really didn't see any distinguishing characteristics that distinguish it from any other city anywhere else in the world.
Well, and there's, in the minute we have left, the two topical issues of at the day this show is airing live is the continuing slaughter of just thousands of people in Syria.
Yes.
And, of course, Putin supports, the Russians support the Syrians, the Chinese support the Syrians. We're not going to go in there and start World War III. But then what about, you know, we are rapidly approaching perhaps some type of military action with Iran. Your thoughts?
Well, it's not the United States, which I'm worried about in terms of action against Iran. It's Israel's reaction toward them, because they basically have their finger on a hair trigger. So it can happen at any moment. It depends on the intelligence in which they receive. And from what I was able to perceive, this idea of Jordan and everybody walking away from the talks of Jordan, and of course Jordan is a neighbor of Syria and things of that. But looking at that, and then the idea, the concept also being shown in that Middle East area, the concept of under the cover, under a shroud, is something already there and to be discovered, and that's something that some people would celebrate. And I think that it's something that Israel probably won't want to celebrate, which would, if it is what it is under that shrouded cover, it would be a nuclear weapon and in the hands of somebody that Israel doesn't feel safe with. So yeah, they wouldn't want to see that come to fruition.
Isn't it sad how we can't take care of ourselves? How we are just utterly, and I'm talking about the human race, we are utterly incompetent to get along. And if we didn't have militaries, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't have terrorists, but it always seems like we have to have some type of force in place to keep some of the nutbags from screwing everything up. And I don't think we're going to be able to stop at this time. But what we're going to have to stop is this broadcast, because we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. But I would like to take this opportunity, as I try to on every show, to thank Michael for his time on this broadcast. Michael has nothing to sell. We do not pay Michael, and we do not take advertising on this program. Michael does this because he told his celestial friends that he would get out there and help spread the word. This is one of those ways he does this. There are two other programs, Hello Earth, with Curtis Cooperman, is another show, and so is Broadcast Urantia. You can hear much more about Michael, and of course, every show we've done with Michael is a free download on our website. And Michael, again, on behalf of everybody that tunes in, thank you so much for your time.
You're certainly welcome. And Celestials also are very pleased in that gateway that you provide as far as getting a message out that they're not all bad guys.
Well, we had quite a few listeners in Hong Kong tonight. I meant to say something earlier. It's great. We can see sometimes where people are tuning in from. So hello to our Chinese friends, and good night, everybody. Coming up at the after the CBS News, it's the Artie Kornfeld Spirit of Woodstock show. And after that, it's Comedy After Dark. Stay with us, everybody.